So our reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak.
Amen. Thank you, Kate. Good morning, everyone. How are you all? Wow, I could set aside and let Ian preach my notes, actually. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, there is a river that is flowing here. Do you know that? Do you know that? I remember many years ago when I became Christian, there was these things happening at that time where, a revival in America, revival in some, places, and we can see and watch it in on TV. And sometime, at that time, I became accustomed. That's English word, accustomed to this thing. In a church, they used to say, we want more, we want more, we want more, more of you, Lord. What about here? What about if we kind of say now, we want more? Well, can you say that? Can you say, more of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because God is moving here already. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, it is marvelous. It is marvelous. Good morning. Welcome here. This is where you want to be now. For those watching on TV, on YouTube, and from every part of the world, as Robin just said, yes, every part of the word, yes, you see. I just want to say, I had a conversation with somebody this week, even, in fact, two people this week, and I was saying to them, this is the best time for you to come back to in-person service. The experience is not the same. If you can't come, it is okay. God is still moving where you are. But if you are able to come, you need to be here. In Jesus' name. So do come, do come, do come. Today, I want us to look at one subject that is really on my heart, looking at the time. And I want to be good steward of the time, but it is 28 past, nearly 29 past. It means that I got 20 minutes or half an hour, so you're going to help me. All right. Yeah, I want to talk to you about this subject, the proclamation of my faith, speaking faith in challenging time. The proclamation of my faith, speaking faith in challenging time. This week on Friday, I was in a conference in Birmingham, and one of a few of the ideas that was coming out from this conference is that, we are in an uncertainty time at the moment. right? We had COVID and all these things, and then 2 years after that, you know, we start to see light out of COVID, and then you know the world in Europe, and then financial crisis, and then the energy crisis, food price, gas. I hate this, but the every time I go to the petrol station, I'm not happy. And then we've got that. And then many people don't know how they're gonna warm their home during this time. We kind of had a new government elected a few weeks ago, and then they started the agenda, and less than 4 weeks or 5 weeks, you know, in fact, we were in that conference talking about this, and then the guy broke the news. The chancellor has been fired, and my heart was, oh God, because I really, really wanted that guy to kind of do well. But, you know, we don't know. The prime minister is struggling. The country is struggling. It's no good news, isn't it? Well, if you agree with me, you're going to say yes. It's not good news. It's not good news. So we are in this time of uncertainty, challenging time, very, very challenging time for us. So we want to look at this aspect, one specific aspect from Paul, from the Apostle Paul, that we can learn from and apply to ourselves and apply to those we love, our churches, our family members in our countries. Apply those principle or that one principle and see ourselves thrive or live a victorious life even in trouble or challenging time. Amen. That is very important. So, Father, we want to bless your name, that we are looking at your word today. Lord, I pray, let your Holy Spirit come. Let your presence come. Father, speak to our hearts. There is nothing that is impossible for you. Lord, reveal your heart to us. Empower your people. Empower us today with your spirit, with your anointing, so that we may know the hope and the glory that is attached to our calling in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I commit myself to you. Holy Spirit, take control. Amen. So, we see this pattern in Paul's that we want to learn from, and this kind of enabled Paul to kind of live the life that he was able to live. You see, Paul been through many challenging times, but you know, even in time of adversity, he was able to stand firm. You know, it wasn't for Paul, it wasn't always rosy, it wasn't always beautiful, it wasn't always pleasant, but he has never been in a place where he kind of want to abandon. Never. Because he knew who he was. He knew who he, you know, where his foundation was. And he knew how to kind of access, you know, some of the mystery in this world to become conqueror. And I want us to look at that in a moment. Paul knows how to use the word of God in prayer and in faith confession to create life and hope in challenging or difficult time. He does this every time because he understands how the spiritual world works. So, I want to suggest to us this morning that any man who operates like that can never be defeated. Any woman who operates like that can never fail. Never. Never. These are the principles. Hallelujah. It is very important. So, if this morning you are going through a challenging time. Oh, if you are in a position where, in a place where you need something, you need breakthrough, you need something to happen. You are praying for a family member. You are praying for somebody. Hallelujah. Wow. You are welcome. Because this is the place you want to be right now. Hallelujah. Faith and the spiritual world. Faith and the spiritual world. How faith and the spiritual world works. We need to understand that. Okay? We need to understand that. Now, to understand faith, we need to know how the spiritual world functions. And I believe the framework or the best framework that the Bible offers us as a disciple to understand this is in Hebrew 11:1-3. And I'm going to read that to you for you quickly. Hebrew 11:1-3. He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony." Now listen to verse 3. Verse 3 says this: "By faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things visible." Do you catch that? Now, let me say that again. In another word, you know, the spiritual world rules over the physical world. Now, I'm going to say this again according to my note. Considering this verse, I think this is a vital key Paul is giving us about how we can access the spiritual world and live a victorious life. Now, remember this. Living a victorious life, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we are kind of challenging free. It doesn't mean that we are not in a position where we don't have to go through some difficulties. No, that's not living a victorious life. That's living a passive life. I mean, if everything is okay, that's even boring. Okay? Now, living a victorious life means that, you know, you now have the capacity, the ability to change the circumstances that you are in, right, for your good, or you have the grace to endure it, okay, or God God gave you the grace to endure it so that his glory may be revealed. That is living a victorious life. Wow, I got that one right. Robin, say amen. And Andrew. Yes, that is living a victorious life. So, let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind. What living a victorious life means. So now, remember. Now I'm going to give you one example. Remember, in John 9, verse 1 to 3. Jesus was with his disciple, and they saw a man who was born blind. And they asked Jesus, who sinned that this man was born blind? Because what they understand is that if there is any infirmities, any sickness, anything in somebody's life, there is a sin. All right? So they asked Jesus, now that man was born like that. So how can he sin? So who sinned then? Is it his parents or himself? Now Jesus said, no. It is because the works of God may be manifested in his life. That is why. So sometimes, you know, we need to be patient. You say to somebody, you need to be patient. Come on, quick. You need to be, say to somebody. Now say to him, God is at work. God is at work. God is at work. So sometimes we need to be patient because God is at work. So Paul says, by faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Okay? And I said that earlier. It means that the world and everything visible are controlled and governed by the spiritual realm. Okay? Now listen to this. And the spiritual realm understand only a spiritual language. The spiritual realm understand only the spiritual language. That is the language of faith. That is the language of faith. So, speaking and believing through the power and the Spirit of God. That is what the spiritual realm understands. Now, can you imagine if the spiritual realm rule and control the physical and or the visible realm? Now, to be successful, to be victorious, I must learn to operate according to that language system, which is now I've got to be able to be speaking God's word through his Holy Spirit, through his Spirit, so that the things that are visible, that are troubling me, could move, isn't it? I want us to go. I'm not preaching yet. I want us to lay the foundation so you understand. It is so important. Look. Now, I've lived about 28 years of my life as un-Christian. I don't even want to say un-Christian. As un-Jesus. And I've seen many things. I've seen how these things work. But I gave my life to Christ. And if the life I'm living now wasn't or is not superior, that's English, to the life that I was living, I would not be here now. I am telling you, there is no point. I will not be here now. Jesus in you, there has to be a difference. There has to be, you know, there has to be before and after. Thank you, my darling. There has to be before and after. And most of the time, or all of the time, you know, when you look at before and after, before is ugly, after is beautiful. It's got to be. Thank you. So you hear what Robin says? He said, you are beautiful. Thank you, Robin. No, that's why we are beautiful. That's why we are beautiful. Before and after. So we need to learn, as Jesus' disciples, we can determine the outcome of things and live a victorious life by learning to speak faith constantly. Yes. Now, I'm going to give you three examples. I'm looking at the time. I really want to lay the foundation. So I'm going to give you three examples, and one from 2 Kings 6, verse 8 to 17. Write it down. We're going to read it. Write it down. Josephine going to read it for us. Come on, Josephine. I love Josephine. She's a good steward. We are all good steward.
Yes, this is 2 Kings 6, verse 8 to 17. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel after conferring with his officers. He said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of the passing place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Thank you, Josephine. Wow. Have I said that to you? The spiritual realm rules over the physical realm. Now, we've seen this interaction between, oh my God, the king of Syria was in war and he wanted to capture the king of Israel. Now, every single of his plan was revealed to the king of Israel. Every single thing that he can speak in, even the secret of his bedroom, was revealed. Now, how can this be possible? Every tactic that he kind of put in place was in jeopardy. And then he asked, now, who between us is between us? Tell me. Now, somebody said to him, oh, my Lord, we are no one here, but there is a problem. What is the problem, he says? He said, there is a man of God. There is a prophet in Israel. Everything that you say and do in your bedroom, the guy can see and can see everything. There is no secrets for you in front of this guy. Hallelujah. How can he do that? Elisha, how can it? And then he sent an army against one man. One man of God. He sent an army, horses and chariots, to capture Elisha. Now they came, and the servant, the young boy, he said, I mean, if you look at the word that is used here, alas, it means that, oh, we are doomed. What can we do? What shall we do now? That's what he said. And the man of God laughed. Because he knows how the spiritual realm works. He laughed and he said, all right, don't worry. I'm going to show you something now. God opened his eyes. The Lord opened his eyes. And then he was able to see chariots of fire surrounding them against the enemy. And upon that, he was able to. I mean, the physical world is nothing. The physical world is nothing. Paul says that, you know, we are not moved. We are not driven by, I'm trying to paraphrase here, by the thing that we see. Because the thing unseen, are immortal, are eternal, and the thing visible are temporal. They are temporal. That means that they can be moved. One, say yes, my wife. Yes. Now, the second one is from the gospel. From the gospel of Matthew 17:20. Jesus said to the guy, to his disciple, if you have faith, if you understand how the spiritual realm works, you can speak to that mountain, or you can speak to that, go and move from here to there, and it will happen. What is mountain? Mountain is a physical thing. Not only the physical thing, it looks the impossible things. That's the mountain. But Jesus said, if you understand how things work, if you have the faith, just tiny one, you can do it. You can do it. Say, I can do it. I can do it. The last one before I preach now. Now the last one is 8 minutes. We got 8 minutes. The last one is my personal story. You see, I came to this country and at some point I start having this issue with immigration, and they want to deport me. They want to send me home, and home is good, but I discovered Jesus. In the process, and discover his calling for me. And I agree with his calling for me. So, this guy, you know, back home, my father was a police chief commander. So we used to go and see. And as I know how they treat these people sometimes, you know, put them in a police cargo and, you know, the cells, it's no good. So they took me, they put me in that cargo, in the police van, behind. And then, so for the first time, I felt like, wow, oh my goodness, I could never imagine, like a brigand. Oh, my goodness. But I said, we're going to take everything from you. And I said, okay, can I have my Bible? Can I have my Bible? And they allow me to keep my Bible. And they put me to the detention center where they say, 3 days, you are out of this country. 3 days. I don't even know where I was, in the middle of nowhere. From London, they drove for about 2 hours before we got to that place. I don't know. Nighttime. And there was a lady in that van with me, and she was crying, and that was annoying me. I said, oh, come on, chill. And then We got to that place. They put me into that that center. And now, before that, I had two dreams or two or three dreams, and where I seen a police, you know, the police escorts. They came and they got me, and they were looking. Robin's looking at time. No, I kind of ran and I got to a place where, you know, I came out of the house, and the police were there. The crowd was here, and they couldn't do anything, and the crowd was like, oh yeah, a thing like that. So I've seen the spiritual realm about that issue. So they put me there, 3 days maximum, you were gone. All right. And I got my Bible. The only telephone number I know by head that time was my mom's telephone number back home in Ivory Coast. And I phoned her. They gave me cards, something. I phoned her. The only thing I could say before that card finished, it was, Mama. And she could understand, and then they come, everything. Now I understand that I am by myself with God. So they got a chapel. Wow. In that center. I said, wow. So every single day from the morning after I arrived into that place, I will go to that chapel and live in the book of Psalm. I will be declaring the word of God. I will be declaring the word of God. Every moment. The only moment I'm not in the chapel is the moment that they need me or something. We got to eat or something. 2 days. 2 days. They released me. And they couldn't find a place to send me. The third day, they say, you've got to go from here. We don't need you here. And they released me, And then within 6 months after that, out of the blue, I don't know. They say, okay, now we give you the indefinite leave to remain, or what's that? This country belongs to you. Yes, Jesus is Lord. Of course Jesus is Lord. Of course Jesus is Lord. Because the spiritual realm is nothing. The physical that we see, the challenging, they are nothing. They are nothing. If we know who we are, if we know, now, let me preach for 2 minutes. Look, he says here, the text that Kate read for us, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 13, the verses 7 to 9, he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah! As a weak earthen vessel, we carry the treasure. The treasure. He says, the treasure. You know what the treasure is? It is the gospel of light, of hope that we carry in our body, so that God's power can be revealed in this world. You are the carrier of the power of God. You are the carrier of the glory of God. You are the carrier of the lights of God. You are the carrier of the mystery of God. Amen. Paul said, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, that spirit is able to give life to your mortal body. So why is that, as a Christian, sometimes we are like, oh. He said, cast down, but not destroy. He said, in despair. Despair means where you see no outcome, no way out. That is despair. But not. He says, what? In despair. In despair. But not. Perplexed. But not in despair. Perplexed means, yeah, we are in a situation where, you know, we see no way out. But not in despair. Not in despair means that we don't lose hope. We still have hope. Christ in me is a hope of glory. We still have hope. So speak to that mountain. Speak to that situation. Speak to that child that won't listen to you. Speak. Speak to that injustice. Speak the word of God.
Amen.
It works. And it works all the time. It works all the time. He said, when you know your identity as Jesus' disciples, I'm careful here. I'm not using Christian. I'm not using as a Christian. I'm using as Jesus' disciples because that's where the power is. When you know your identity as a disciple, nothing budges you. Is it a good English? I check. Every time I put budge, they give me a different word. But I wanted to use budge. Nothing but you. You know? Because you know what the outcome will be. I am not going like that. Why? Why? I met Jesus. He gave me his calling, and I have accepted. And I know the context of the fulfillment of that calling. So I am not going anywhere. So you can't remove me. Because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. My time is up. So we see Paul engaging in faith declaration based on his conviction and identity. We are hard pressed. So I won't go on that. Okay? You must learn to declare God's word and his promises into your circumstances. It works. I'm gonna end here. But all glory be to God. Now, you know what I want you to do? Every time I say what I want you to do, my wife says, "Though you don't say that, you have to say what I would like you to do." That's what you have to say every time. Every time. But I said, look, listen to Robin. Robin said that sometime. You know, I can do it. So. We carry a treasure. Can you stand with me, please? Can you stand on your feet? We carry a treasure in earthen vessel. You see, Paul was careful here. He said earthen vessel. He didn't say earthly vessels. He didn't say earthly vessels. He said earthen vessels. So in relation to our weakness, in relation to to our body, our flesh, in relation to that. But the Bible says that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Yes, that's why Paul said, he said, earthen vessel. He didn't say earthly vessel. So you are not earthly. Hallelujah. You are not earthly. You are spiritual. You are spiritual. Therefore, you have a power. Therefore, you carry the presence of God. You carry that treasure, the glory. You know, that the excellence of power. I mean, the complete manifestation of the power of God may be revealed in your life. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hand and start talking to the Lord now. I want you to raise your hand. I want to, even at home, I want you to raise your hand and start saying, Lord, fill me now with your spirit. Help me to understand that my calling, my identity in you. Say, God, say, Lord, help me to understand my identity in you. I want to be a carrier of your vessel, a carrier of you. I want to be a carrier of your life. You know, when we go down, he talk about how the life is at work even in death. Hallelujah. So even in death, the life of Christ is at work in you and in everything that you touch. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, this is the moment. I pray for a baptism of fire right now in Jesus' name. Father, let it be now a deposit of your glory, of your power in every single one in this place. Those who raise their hand, those who want to see your glory. Father, let your presence come now in the name of Jesus. Sherebokosa. Ribros talabokontele. Lasata ibro neleko satayamat. Nazarakante ieron toro shitiriante. Rasa ayabro nile entuaka. Shatalabranti libonto. Jesus, Holy Spirit, come. Shakarararara. Rabasolo. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the power to reveal to the world. Jesus, come. Now, I want you to start speaking to any mountain that seems impossible, that keeps standing in front of you. If it's this child, you know, the enemy cannot get our inheritance. It is impossible. It is impossible. So you can say no to the enemy now, so that that destiny of that child may come to pass in Jesus' name. Speak now. Speak now. Speak the truth. Speak the word of God. Sharabokosata. You have the power. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of his power may be manifested, but not of us, but to his glory. So that sickness, that injustice, that barrenness, I got three more minutes. So if there is anybody here that wants a special touch of his power, or you are in a situation where you need God to move that mountain, I can stand with you now. I just want you to come quickly. Now, if you are here and you don't know Jesus, you know, Jesus wants you to live a victorious life. You know, if you are here, you want to say yes to Jesus, I want you to come. Come now. This is your moment. Look, this is your moment. God wants to do good for you, to you. He says, my plan and purposes for you is to do you good, give you hope and good future. Hallelujah. Thank you for your spirit, God. Rebro sorabaka serede. I see at least two of you that need to come. You know, God wanna do good to you. There is somebody that have an issue in a relationship. Issue in a relationship. God wants to deliver you. God wants to step into that situation. Hallelujah. There is somebody that have issue with addiction. God wants to do good to you. If you're here, God wants to do good. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of salvation. So please, can we pray? Maman, pasteur, come. Let's pray and anoint these people. Nothing can stand in the way of God. Nothing can stand in the way of God. Nothing can stand in His way. Nothing can stand. Nothing can stand in His calling for you. When He said it, then He do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your power. Up, we finish now, but if you're here and you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now just raise your hand. I see the Spirit falling on you in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your anointing. Fill me with your power. Holy Spirit, yes, in Jesus' name. Every sickness, every sickness, every sickness, shakalabaha.